Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is May Day. That's May 1st, 2020. It's also known as Law Day, although most people don't even know that. But the ABA, the American Bar Association, has whole events and parties. And it's Commie Day. If you're in Russia,
the world unite. Those that still have jobs.
Yes. So here we are. We're with Mickey Fulp, and it's time for Mickey's monthly major market review. Well, as bleak as things might seem, Mickey, when we look at the numbers of the retracement of what happened last month, they don't quite look so bad, do they?
We basically made up what we lost the previous month. The Dow closed at 24,346 for 11% gain. S&P 500 up 12.5%, 29,12. NASDAQ is actually in positive territory or thereabouts, pushing it anyway, up 15.5% to 88,90. And positive for the year is what I mean. And the Russell 2000 was up to 1311, almost a 14% gain. You have to look at this and think that the U.S. markets have been propped up by these massive money supply increases as our economy continues to collapse.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. But on the other hand, this may have just been a market panic, and it's coming back now. And the excess liquidity certainly does not hurt one bit. So let's look at our secondary markets.
Well, I think your point's well taken there, Kerry. These markets needed a correction. We've been long overdue for a correction, and we certainly have had that now. So going on to the Canadian markets, Toronto Stock Exchange jumped 10.5%, closed at 14,781. It really has tagged along with U.S. market, but you have to think it is lagging because their oil sector has absolutely collapsed. I mean, it was on the point of collapse anyway, and this is a death knell here. And gold mining stocks often kind of lead the way out of these things, and they're certainly, the gold miners certainly have done that. Toronto Venture Exchange gained back what it lost last month, up 21% to close at 472, came off its all-time lows, but it is still below the previous all-time low set in December of 2018. Emerging market index up, close at 925, up 11%. Basically, I think as China started work again, and the VIX, although it is still near historically high levels, dropped throughout the month, started the month at 53.5, ended the month at 34.5. So volatility, although still high, is not at record levels like it was last month.
Yeah, and it seems to be, well, you know, the VIX over time, it's one of those decaying indices anyway. If there's nothing going on, it's just going to go lower because of the options and the futures that it consists of.
Right, exactly.
So it's going to decay, but it's rapidly decaying here. And hey, let's look at our money here. And we start with the dollar index.
Well, yeah, the dollar's closed flat, off one basis point, closed at 99.04. But that does not indicate the intra-month volatility. The low was 98.9. The high was 100.7. So generally, the dollar is kind of been on Mr. Told's wild ride. The euro continues weak. It's at 110, lost 0.7% on the month. I'm going to say it right now. The Brits are very happy they got Brexit out of the way, because I think the European Union is on its way to collapse. It's not going to happen fast, but I think that's ultimate demise of the euro is coming.
For sure. I mean, look, the Italians want to get out. because they go through the whole epidemic. Where are their brethren in the EU? Nowhere to be found to help them.
Where were the Germans?
Yeah, they had to go to Russia and China to get their supplies. And you know that the supplies, the medical supplies from China were defective, half of them, the tests, the masks, all this stuff. And so Italy's had it, even France,
Spain. Macron,
Spain, all these countries have just had enough. Hungary, the Eastern countries there were rebelling anyway, and Hungary is almost out of it now. They just keeping the common currency unit intact for the time being, but you're right. The handwriting is on the wall.
Going over to the 10-year bond, closed at 0.64. It actually got down one day in the month. It went below 0.6, but this is the lowest ever. After last month's was the lowest ever. After the month previous was the lowest ever. So we've gone to 1.13% interest rate, to 0.7 at the end of last month, to 0.64 at this month. Folks, if you have not sold your U.S. bonds, sell them now. That's my advice, because you're not going to get a higher price for them.
Yeah, they're bound to decrease in value at this point, because there's so many of them. And how much can the Fed buy? Well, I guess the answer is all of them, if need be.
As many as they need to, I guess.
Right. So maybe that's why Bitcoin's looking up this month, Mickey.
Bitcoin almost gained back this last 2 months of losses. Closed at 87.73 for a 38% gain.
Wow. All right. So let's head over to the metals. They had a nice little rebound rally.
Well, as you would expect for gold, it is the world safe haven. And despite central bank buying going nowhere and difficulty in delivery of physical gold, especially small denominations, basically because the world's airlines have shut down, and that's how gold is transported. Gold had a very nice month. Closes 1687, up 7%. It got as high, I think, as 1750, 1760, but it really is a two-step forward, one-step back sort of chart, and that's what we want to see in bull markets. So gold looks good going forward. Silver actually kept up with gold. Finally, it closed up 7% at $14.94. But the gold-silver ratio is still in rarefied, if not near record territory, at something on the order of 112 right now. Yeah. Platinum had a nice month, closed up $45 at 767 for 6% gain. And palladium, its parabolic fall continues, close at 1901. It is 31%. It's off its all-time high set in February of 2754. Parabolic rises, parabolic falls, or exponential rises, exponential falls. The curve looks like a parabola, and that's what we've seen in palladium. And finally, copper was up most of the month. Once again, a sawtooth rise. It's gone up and up and up since its low of 208 on that infamous day, March 23rd, when all the markets hit their lows. There's supply disruption in the copper market, severe supply disruption. So that's probably the reason for most of the rise. And the Chinese have gone on a massive import spree right now. So,
yeah, interesting.
As they theoretically get their economy up and running again.
Yeah, theoretically, they can open up their factories, their plants, all that. But if there's no other markets in the world that are going to buy their stuff, and then they're going to have to use it internally, and they don't want the stuff that they produce for the most part, right?
Well, the copper market, they're going to go on a massive infrastructure build out. That's the way they're going to stimulate their economy, if they can, to any degree. And You know, that's going to require lots of copper.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that old formula is how that's going to work.
We'll see if it works. Yeah. I think they'll try it again.
Yeah, well, if at first you don't succeed, you know, keep failing because you're the government, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so energy. Now, that's where the real story was this month, because we saw a complete implosion of the energy market. And it only makes sense.
Incredible.
When was the last time you filled your car up with gas, Mickey? I filled mine up three weeks ago.
I'm using premium fuel on all my vehicles now. So I filled up yesterday, the Hot Rod Lincoln, and I paid at Sam's Club, I paid $1.59
for premium, huh?
For 91 octane.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, same here. I actually filled up my car with 12 gallons of premium and got a car wash for $3.50. And I paid $25 at the gas station. I was like looking, it's like, I don't remember it being this cheap since the 80s, pretty much. I mean, now the tax on the gas, it's averages 60 plus cents a gallon, right, is almost as much as you're paying for the gas itself. You know, 100% tax pretty much per gallon. New York State has a sliding scale because they charge their sales tax on it, 8.5%. So they're getting slammed. I mean, the states are all in a total meltdown. But looking further here, when we look at what we've got, Brent. So Brent didn't match WTI.
Well, the real news is oil. It leads the world economic collapse, and that's what we're on the way to. And there's no storage worldwide. And it's, so this Russian OPEC production cuts of 10 million barrels a day is absolutely insufficient. We're probably producing an excess of about 30 million barrels a day. We've seen U.S. production come down incrementally about 10% so far. It's going lower. And we won't get into it, but everybody, I think, is aware in the financial markets what happened a week ago Monday when the front month contract went negative for a day, basically because these people were caught with contracts. They had to either roll them over, find storage, and there was no storage. So they had to pay people to take their contracts. Crazy. Never happened before in any futures market. That said, WTI closed at 1884 for an 8% loss on the month. It's lost something on the order of 75% of its value since the end of the year at 61. Brent it did not perform nearly as badly. It was actually up 11% on the month. It closed at 25.27. We'll talk about that ratio in a bit. Henry Hub gas, with the WTI supply disruption from the Permian, that was good for gas. It means we're not overwhelmed by as much gas as we were, plus lots of shut-ins of the Marcellus gas shale gas field in the Northeast U.S. So that led to an increase in Henry Hub gas, $1.95, up 19% on the month. And finally, the really good news of the month, and this has been going on for a couple of months now, is uranium. Cameco shut down its final operations in the Athabasca, McLean River, and the Key Lake Mill shut down. Namibia shut down its two mines, Rossing and Husang, and Kazakhstan did some massive cuts. So all of a sudden, we are not in oversupply of uranium. The Nuclear Fuel Working Group finally delivered its report to President Trump to support domestic uranium mining and the domestic uranium industry, nuclear industry as a whole. So we saw a 25% rise. U308 spot price closed at $33.90. And I'm scrolling down the board here trying to find the last time we saw prices 30, high.
Huh?
And it would be in
years.
My, look at this. Kerry, it was actually during the collapse of all other metal prices in January of 2016.
Really?
It was the last time we had a uranium price above $33.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
It is. I hadn't realized that. So that was when we hit the post-global economic crisis lows for gold and copper and every other metal on the planet. So,
wow. Anyway. Remarkable. Well, what can you say about that? Interesting.
Well, let's talk about something else remarkable, and that's these crazy ratios.
Yeah, the ratios. And that's something that you and I, a lot of people track the gold-silver ratio.
Sure.
Obviously, a lot of people do that. But the other ratios, I don't know anybody else that tracks them besides us.
Yeah, so we already mentioned this gold-silver ratio closed at 112.9. The previous high before the previous month, when it actually at one point went above 120 intra-month, was 100, something like that, 100.4, I think.
Yeah.
So this is rarefied territory indeed. The other metal ratios are all positive above their all-time lows. Platinum to gold ratio at 0.45. It hit 0.41 at a point once again in that week that ended in the 20th of March. Something right. Like that. Platinum palladium closed at 0.4. It came off its all-time low of 0.32 at the end of March. So those are still crazy ratios, but at least they bounced off their all-time lows.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the really crazy one. Brent to WTI at 1.34. We have that ratio calculated back to something on the order of 1987, and that's the all-time high since 1987. Exceeds the ratio in the summer of 2011, which is the only time it got close. WTI to Henry Hub closed below 10 for the first time since the global economic crisis in early 2009. It closed at 9.7. It's still got a ways to go to get to the energy ratio of 6-1, which is what the IRS gives you for a depletion allowance. And finally, the gold to WTI ratio, we talked about this last month. The previous all-time high was 37.8. Once again, in that economic crash of metals in the first quarter of 2016, last month it jumped to 77. This month it's at 89.5. That's more than two times greater than its highest ever before.
Yeah, remarkable. Yeah, well,
yeah.
You know, the gyrations are going to continue for a while, I guess. We're going to have to see once the country reopens and the world, how quick it's going to get back on its feet, if ever. And right now, it's anybody's guess, but the market's painting an interesting picture, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are, and we live in interesting times indeed, Gary.
Yes, we do. Hey, well, go take a look at Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com. His Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. Take a look at our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Our Twitter handle is at Kerry Lutz. And Mickey, we will resume next month, and hopefully we'll see a little calmness prevail.
Well, I hope that we're open for business next month. The quicker we can do that, the quicker we're going to get out of this quagmire.
Yeah, certainly with energy the way it is, trading at negative prices, and it looks like it could repeat that in June if we don't get cars on the road. I mean, the system.
Yep. And so that contract will expire the third week of May, either on Tuesday or Wednesday. So not much more than 3.5 weeks away.
Yeah. Yep. So it's an interesting situation. And we will pick up next month where we left off today.
We certainly will, Kerry. I look forward to it.